Slow down, Mark. Woo-hoo! I love Jesus so much. I sure hope you do, and I hope you that you're just your love for God is just developing more and more because he's passionately in love with you. Oh, Father God, we are here today because of a demonstrated, lived-out love in Jesus Christ. A personification of God in human flesh, revealing to mankind that we're able to read in the Gospels and read in the lives of those through whom you transformed in the book of Acts, and the teachings and revelation that you gave through, Lord God, whether it be Paul or Peter or James or Jude. There are just these things that you just show us about yourself, and you encourage us, Lord, and you foster within us as your children the desire to dream, the desire to perceive, the desire, Lord God, to see what your word has to say, not just as something far away, but a present reality to be experienced today. That this isn't just a book, Lord God, that has its origin thousands of years ago, but it's a revelation of yourself here and now. That you want each person, Lord God, to experience in a greater measure, in a deeper way. And so we thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you for this time of year. We thank you, Lord God, that as we look at what has taken place nationally, that we can also experience, Lord God, our own declaration of independence from sin and the tyranny of Satan. And that we thank you that we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your most precious and beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And so we thank you, Lord God, for just simple truths like this that we can just take so much joy and appreciation in Jesus' name. Amen? 1776, a group of men signed a declaration declaring their independence from Great Britain and the tyranny of the King of Britain. And the moment these men put their names to that document, they signed their death sentence. They signed a declaration of war. They signed something that that king of Great Britain would send troops upon troops upon troops to quell, to stop that which they have declared to be a freedom. Right? And we celebrate it. We'll celebrate it this July 4th, we'll have barbecues, and somebody around this neighborhood here has M80s. But I tell you, when those things go off, I jump inside my house. They sound like a cannon going off. You know, boom! Oh, whoa! That guy's celebrating a little early and a little bit late. But we celebrate it with barbecues, picnics, fireworks, all these different things, and hopefully a thankfulness to God that we are not under the thumb of tyranny. But if we don't guard and protect our freedoms, the enemy, because if you realize that everything that goes on in the natural realm is the result of what's taking place in the spiritual realm, the enemy, our arch enemy Satan, is always looking for a way to bring people into bondage or to enslave them again. And so if people aren't aware spiritually, aren't aware governmentally, aren't aware even politically, that you can find yourself in a place saying yes to something that eventually bring you into bondage. And God wants to make sure that our eyes are open. And God can even show you, when your life is connected with Him, He can even show you what's taken place in the natural. He can show you that it's a result of what's taken place in the spiritual. And He will show you these things. We are a people that live in a country, and we are responsible citizens of that country. But if we do not continue to move toward God, then His hand is slowly removed from a country. Now, I'm not going to go to that aspect of it today. What I want to go to today is that we in the Lord Jesus Christ, that the same way that these men signed a declaration to declare their independence from Great Britain and to establish an American colony, a United States, independent of Great Britain. So something very similar happened with us, or for us, by Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ himself brought forth a covenant, brought forth an agreement through his blood for the release of mankind from that which would enslave them and keep them separated from God throughout all eternity, and that is sin. In other words, that there was something with inside the human being from Adam and Eve, from the garden, that got transferred to every human being since that time that would keep mankind separated from God. He did bring in a law. He did bring in a law and commandments and sacrifices so that people could have a righteous covering. So they could offer up the blood or the sacrifice of an innocent animal to atone for their sins. And it would just be like me just getting a big carpet here, and every time something was atoned for, that sin was covered and covered and covered and covered and covered. I wonder what size of a mountain that would look today if we could see the sins that were atoned for just covered, not removed. Atonement means covering, okay? So all those people who departed with a covering or an atonement upon their life, the Word of God says that they went to a place near hell in the depths of the earth called paradise. And there they waited and waited and waited for the promised one who would come, not to just atone, but to redeem mankind. And so there wasn't a person who could be born on this planet whose blood or bloodline was not somehow tainted with sin. And God knew that from before time began. And he knew that he himself, through his Son, would have to be reduced microscopically to only that which could be seen underneath a microscope, to a seed or what we would call a sperm, and for that sperm to go into a fertile egg in Mary's womb. And therefore, the Son of God would have to take on flesh. Because God knew. See, if you have an understanding of Genesis, that God placed man on this planet and gave him the dominion over all things on this planet. God gave man the charge of this planet. He left that charge. He violated that charge. He disobeyed God and therefore became a slave to the one whom he disobeyed, as the devil is referred to as the god of this world or the god of this age. So God the Father knew that he would become and allow God the Son to take on human flesh, because the only way that a man could be redeemed or mankind could be redeemed was the Creator to take on human flesh. It had to be a man. A man sinned in the body, and that's why animal sacrifices, the blood of an innocent animal, can only temporarily cover. It would take a sinless man, the Son of Man and the Son of God, 100% man, 100% God, living in a human body to do what was needed for all of us. And so he was willing. You've heard me say this before, because sometimes I talk to people and I minister to people, God can't relate to me. He doesn't relate to what I go through. He doesn't know what I'm experiencing. The Word of God tells us very plainly that Jesus was tempted in every way like you and I are. Somehow the pain you suffer, somehow the experience you've gone through, whatever it is that you have gone through in life, somehow Jesus, it says that he has tasted death for every man. He experienced some part of it in some way that you have, or else he could not be a sympathetic or identifying high priest for us. He somehow was able to identify with the entire human experience for all of our lives. Isn't that wonderful? And then to take the horrificness of it upon himself when he was arrested, condemned to die, and crucified. He was able to do that. So wouldn't anymore just be a covering for sin? It would be the paying the price for all mankind. From Genesis forward to the last human being that will ever be born, that the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, has secured the freedom from sin and the tyranny of Satan. Our declaration of independence is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection, and him seated at the right hand of the Father, indicating where we will all be going when we breathe our last breath. Where Jesus is now is for us to be united with the Father. Isn't that nice to know that we'll always have a place with God the Father? But having said that, just as those men in 1776 signed that declaration of independence, the moment you said yes, when Jesus' name was on that blood covenant, man's kind sin has been redeemed forever. And all who put their faith and trust in me will be redeemed. The moment you said yes to Jesus, your name was signed. And you also became an enemy of the God of this world. And he is relentless in his pursuit to see you fail. But I also know that which I've committed to God, that which I have given to God, he is able to keep and fulfill within my life until I arrive safely in his presence. You have to understand that no matter how deceptive the devil is, no matter how conniving the devil is, that we have a refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you fall 10 times, he's there to lift you up 10 times. If you fail 100 times, he's there. His blood has secured the right for you to be forgiven 100 times. See, once you have an understanding of this, yeah, the devil's going to try to make an inroad, but his deception is trying to get you to think you've... How many people I've talked to? Oh, Pastor, I believe I've committed the unpardonable sin. I just tell them, if you're concerned about it, you haven't. If you're convicted with inside your heart, I said, let's pray and give this over to the Lord. There is something wonderful, wonderful about the blood of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But yet I also have an understanding that in Jesus Christ, we have been given an authority. We have been given a power that when the devil, sin, whatever you want to call it, tries to come and trip my life, tries to destroy my life, tries to get me to a place of brokenness, I tell you that from a place of brokenness, from a place of having no power to do anything, just felt like just a pile of... There was an H on the end of that, right, Karen? Okay, thank you. Whoa. Christine says I need to have my hearing checked. When we feel like we're just nothing, that as a believer in Jesus, our weakest, most vulnerable place is the place of the greatest demonstration of God's power if we will just call out upon his name. If you forget everything else, what's one name that we should never forget? Jesus, 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 Jesus. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, and his name is Jesus, shall be saved, shall be healed, shall be delivered, shall be rescued, shall be preserved, shall be brought to a place of safety and security. Wow! One name, because that name represents the title deed of all that he has done for us. So when you're calling on the name of Jesus, you're calling on a completely ratified covenant or document of declaration of independence from sin and Satan. And your right to go before the throne of God anytime that you want to get help in your time of need. First John 3:8. Let me pull up a scripture for you. What I'm saying is scripture. And if we will grab hold of this, even in our darkest time, it says, he who sins is of the devil. We know that. He who sins, he who continues to practice sin is actually siding with the devil. The Word of God says in John 8:44, it talks about him being the liar and the father of it. He's the one who brought sin into being. He's called the father of liars, the father of lies, the father of deception. So when sin was introduced, it wasn't first introduced in the garden here, it's when he was Lucifer, it was introduced into heaven. The Word of God tells us in Isaiah and Ezekiel that he was a cherub, and he was created so beautiful, so precious. But something happened with inside of himself, and I believe that there are seven or eight of the I wills in which he says, I will put my throne above God's throne. I will be exalted. I will, I will, I will. In other words, he knew a will of God. There was a will that he knew that he didn't like. And the Word of God tells us, I believe it's in Revelation chapter 12, somewhere on verse 8 or 9, it talks about a rebellion that was led, and it speaks about him bringing one-third, causing one-third of those angelic creations, those angelic beings, to side with him. Can you just imagine the ability that he had at that time? And it says he did it through trafficking. Traffic? You mean cars? No. He did it through the trafficking of words, the speaking of words, that he was somehow able to persuade one-third of the angels to side with him as if they could lead a revolt against the one who created him. But see, that's how deception works. Deception works in a way that, well, this is who the Scripture says, that, or what the Word says, but I think we can get around it. I think that we can do better than what that says. So he said, I'm going to put my throne above God's throne, indicating to all of us who will read it, I've got a better plan than God does. I don't agree with what God is going to do. So somehow he knew the counsels of God that would be taking place throughout history and did not agree with it, and he started vocalizing his disagreement. And God just went, boop, down. See, when we begin to realize the power of Almighty God and that power that God is for us and not against us, the Word of God says that all we have to simply do as believers in Him, when it says submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Where's that? In James? James 4:7, somewhere around there? Submit to God. What does the Word say? You see, when we find out what a teaching of the Word of God says, when we find out a truth of what God's Word says, when we find out what a promise of God's Word says, to submit to it, but say, I agree with that. I yield myself to what this says. I will become what it says. There's a surrendering of yourself to the truth of what God's Word says, and that is a submission to God. To submit to God is to say yes to His Word and to follow that truth as your life truth. And from that place of submission, or having Jesus Christ as first as Savior, then as Lord, and He's the reigning King over your life, then it says it's from that place, what does it say we can do? Resist the devil. And what does it say? Oh, he's just going to sit there and, you know, do this to you? No, what does it say he's going to do? Flee. And that talks about that the devil, a demon, fallen angel, it doesn't matter what the principality or power is. When you are rightly positioned in Christ and under Christ, and He's the Lord, in that area of your life, the best that you know how right now, that you're submitted to Him. You are a person today, like right now, you know your sins are forgiven. We had communion today. You know you're in a right relationship with God because of Jesus Christ. You know that right now, at this moment, all your sins have been washed and covered by the blood of Jesus. And as far as you're concerned, that you're obeying the Word of God, that you have been, that you've heard and you've been taught, and that you have a position, a spiritual position right now as being yielded or surrendered to King Jesus. And it says it's from that place that you're able to realize if there's a pushing of the enemy, a deception of the enemy, you're able to understand if he's present, if he's trying to make an inroad in your life, but you have to vocally go, no, because this is what the Word says. How did Jesus defeat the devil? Hey, get out of here for a little while. No, it is written. Three times, it is written. And the very first, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Why? Because the devil said, I know you're hungry. And, you know, if you really say who you say you are and believe who you say you are, why don't you just demonstrate it and just see this rock here, make it bread. You see, the devil knows how to appeal to your weakness. The devil knows how to appeal to the area you're most vulnerable in. And trying to get you to exercise yourself outside of a positional faith in Jesus or outside the realm which God would have that area met within your life. Okay? And Jesus just simply said, man doesn't live by bread alone. My life is in God's hands. My destiny is in God's hands. My provision is in God's hands. My source is God Himself. I don't have to try to do anything to make something happen. I look to the one who has created all things, who makes all things happen. And so He will give me a word or a truth or a promise that I am to secure in my life if so needed. Man shall not live by bread alone. I am not led by my flesh. I am not led by my carnal reasoning. I am not led by my feelings nor my emotions. I am led by the truth of God that is outside my feelings, outside my soul, outside my emotions, outside of a present circumstance to the one who governs all circumstances. And there's a truth that he declares to us in this very simple passage. Not by bread alone. You don't allow your five senses to rule your life. You allow what is sometimes referred to as the sixth sense. Faith in God. Faith in the unseen realm that is all around us that God is in charge of. And faith in what that word of God has to say. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Do you believe that when you're at a very weak place, at a very vulnerable place, you're in the valley of the shadow of death, when things aren't going the way that you think that they should go, or you didn't think your path of your life would be where it's at or experience what you experience, are you able, in the midst of all that confusion and I don't understand, have a somewhere deep inside your spirit, God is good. God knows all things. I don't understand, but I know you see all, you know all, and you have a provision. I don't know how you're going to do it. I'm totally wasted right now, but I will look to you. See, somewhere in your spirit, you can cry out to Him. Even when this mind is in a place of turmoil, upside down, crying, laughing, up and down, bipolar. As I've seen some people. One moment they're just as happy as can be, then all of a sudden they're crying, they don't know why they're crying, and they're just everywhere. But their spirit is connected with God. And from that place, and it even sounds weird at times, I'm looking to Jesus, and you're like, whoa, you've just been this way, and you've just been that way, now out of your mouth. It's something sobering, something powerful. Something that is not coming from the emotional realm or the soul realm. It's something coming from a connection that you have with God in your spirit. It might be very weak. It might be very small. But this is a place where you're connected with God. And it will rise above, and to some people may look very strange when it's happening, but it will bring you to a place of victory if you'll allow that truth to come out of your mouth. Allow that word of God that comes to you that we shall live by. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I truly believe, because I have experienced, that in the lowest, deepest, darkest place of my life, there's a word that proceeds from God's mouth to my heart, to my understanding, that I accept and allow to be formed upon my lips. And just, if I have to, just eke them out. That small, insignificant, sometimes powerless thing that somebody may hear, causes the full force of the blood of Jesus Christ and everything that He has done and everything that He has secured to be acted within my life. And you've got to realize that. So can you, in a place of not understanding, all of a sudden something rise up and you'll even question at times. Man, I got tears running down my face, but this truth is coming to me. You side with that truth. You grab hold of that truth. You think on that truth. You release that truth. Amen? And stand still, and you will see the salvation of God show up. I have stood still, and I'm seeing the salvation of God showing up. His salvation is showing up. And if it has happened to me or any one of you here in this room, it can happen to every one of us. And that's why God loves testimony. God loves testimony, or testifying that He is good, He does come through in your life, in your life, in your life, in your life, in your life. He comes through. Amen? But deception tries to say, yeah, He's done it for them, but not for you, though. You know, that there's something faulty within you that He won't bring it to pass within your life. Deception tries to bring you to a place of, that it will work for somebody else, but it won't work for me. And see, we have to be careful of that type of a mindset. We have to be careful of that type of a faulty belief. And so we have a truth from God's Word about what Jesus Christ has done for each and every one of us. I want to read to you a passage of Scripture that we all know from Colossians chapter 1. And it says this, a place that we should all be living from is giving thanks to the Father. Can you agree with that? Verse 12, Colossians 1:12. Can you live from a place of thanksgiving when there really isn't anything to look around to give thanks for? Sometimes you got to bring it right back to your salvation. You got to just bring it right back to some place, sometime in your life where there was this God connection. I got to just bring it right back to the day that I got saved. I don't know what's going on right now, but I know what happened then. And I can give thanks from that place. I'm not going to tell you what occurred, but something happened within my body recently. And I'm like, what's going on? A passage of Scripture says, in everything give thanks. I'm like, how am I supposed to give thanks for this? It's not something that normally people give thanks for. But I found myself giving thanks. I said, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do as a result of this. I don't know what's going to happen as a result of this. But I'm going to give thanks to you for what has taken place in my life because there's something else you have in plan. You have something else planned. And I don't quite understand it, but you have something else planned. Long story short, I ended up going to the VA, and I was in the emergency room at the VA. And then all of a sudden, the nurse that was given to me, she came here to Louis and Carmen Berthelsen. She came here to Louis's memorial service. Remember Louis Berthelsen? And remember how he got gloriously saved before he died? And there was such a change. Well, she was like his buddy at the range. She'd go out and shoot with them. And I guess there's a range, antelope gun range or something here in Clearwater. And she was his shooting partner. And they always hung out. They loved her so much. She was considered to Carmen and Louis their adopted daughter. And so we got to meet there and got to talk there. And I think some of you women at the end of the memorial service got some information how you could go get qualified at the range. And you spoke to her afterwards. But it's amazing, since Louis passed away, that every now and then she gets put across Christina Mine's path. She just gets put across her path. Then all of a sudden, there I am, and I look at this lady in front of me. I was like, is that Michelle? Is that her? And so they take me into the room, and we're talking about what's going on. And I'm sitting there going, Lord, you allowed all this to occur because you love Michelle. You love Michelle. And for some reason, her life needed a God contact, a love of God displayed. That when, you know, how many of you ever felt that nobody even sees me, nobody even knows me, nobody even cares? And for some reason, I said, Michelle, is that you? She goes, do I know you? I go, Mark Smith, Christian Service Center? And we just started to hug. She lost 30 pounds. I've lost 40 pounds. I grew a beard. She hasn't ever seen me with a beard. And so we look completely different. But we're starting to talk. We're starting to communicate. And so after all that, when I got home, I was able to say, you know, Lord God, I give thanks to the present condition that you are healing in my body because you provide an avenue to somebody who needed a love of God, a touch from God, a demonstration of the love of God. You see, God wants to do that instead of like, oh, poor old me. Oh, what are you going to do as a result of this? I know you're going to heal it. That's a given. I know that this is going to be taken care of. But in the interim, what are you going to do? It's like, whoa, Mark, that's kind of a strange way to look at something. No, that's a God way to look at something. Instead of me getting down about the present situation or why is this going on? What in the world is going on here? No, I'm in this world, but not of this world. God's got a plan for my life to connect with somebody else's life that needs some encouragement, that needs some demonstrated love of God. And that's how he wants to use you. Amen? But isn't it true that when we're going through something, we could become so isolated, so self-focused, that we're not even aware of the need around us? And God is just trying to say, listen, I've got you. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to restore you. I have made complete provision for your entire healing, freedom, deliverance, whatever it is that your life needs. I've made all the supply that is necessary for you. Will you believe that and walk on in faith? And I was just like, okay, Lord, okay. It is a horribly, wonderfully place to be. Do you know that? Because I know the nature of God, getting to know more of his character, getting to know more of his ways and how he does things, that I'm able, and all of us, I hope, are becoming more able to rise above the present natural circumstance and see the spiritual life that he's wanting to bring in through us to somebody else. Jesus says, well, let me just finish this here, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us as partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Do you believe that God has an inheritance for you to enjoy in eternity? We all believe that there's wonderful things that we've never even dreamed of or seen in eternity, but do you believe that there's an inheritance for you now to partake of? There are things that he has that have already been secured for us. And the only thing from us possessing them and experiencing them, number one, is ignorance. We don't know. How can you receive something you don't know about? Or you hear about it and say, yeah, right, God's going to do that for me. Unbelief. Or you see it taking place in somebody else's life and you're down on you because it doesn't. See, God wants to show you and reveal to you the things that he has for us, yes, in the future, but the display of himself in the here and now. For all of us to experience and to quit making excuses why they're not taking place. There's a lot of excuses that we have as to why things aren't taking place instead of just putting a simple trust and faith in him. I look to you. I trust you. It says that he brings it to pass. My job is to trust. My job is to look to him. My job is to meditate on the word of God that it becomes a living reality within me, permitting God to bring it to pass within my life. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, first thing, must believe that he is. He is what? He is God. He is present. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. He's got the answer. He's got you. What is the he is that you need to be grabbing hold of today? He's got the answer. He is the answer. And a rewarder. A rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Simply put, a diligently seeking believer in Jesus is someone who has a word from God, a truth from God, a promise from God, and you refuse to let it go. You diligently hold on to it. You continue in it. No matter what the present circumstance says, you're going to hold to him and refuse to let go. You see, this is all part of our declaration of independence from sin, from Satan, and our complete dependence upon who God is. And you refuse everything else once you get to know him that is not of him. Amen? It goes on here to say what occurred to us. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Do you believe today you're delivered from the power of darkness? Delivered, set free, no more part of your life. So if darkness is operating within me, I'm giving it permission to operate. I'm going there purposely by choice of will, choice of thought, choice of emotion. Now things may be played in my mind that have happened a long time ago. Things may get played up into your thinking. We've been delivered from it. Jesus has secured a complete release. But sometimes things have happened that we continue to play the tape. We continue to play the scenario over and over. It gets entrenched. And God wants to help you by His Word take a new path, to take a new journey, to have a different vision, a different sightedness, a different feeling, a different response. He wants to help you and govern you by the truth of Himself and the truth of His Word so you have a comparison. Old things passed away, all things become new. Old things passed away, all things become new. Well, Mark, you know, that's kind of simple. Hello. If it's of darkness, if it's not of God, then you have to be able to say that it is not of God, but you have to know what its replacement is. If you don't know the replacement or what the truth is, then you're going, okay, yeah, that is not for my life. I rebuke that. I come against that. That is no longer part of my life. What are you filling it up with? What's taking its place? Then it just becomes empty words. Because I tell you, with inside yourself or with inside the universe, there is no vacuum that is left. When something vacates, something will fill. The Word of God even tells us that when even a demon, I think it's in Matthew chapter 12, when a demon goes out of a person, it says it will come back. Oh, it's been swept. It's clean. But there's nobody home. There's nothing that has taken my place. Jesus is just trying to let us know if a person gets set free, there's a responsibility that the individual has and leaders have to make sure that the truth is put in its place, the Word of God is put in its place. Jesus is filling that place, so when it comes back, it's going to be resisted and say, "You, no vacancy for demons." It's going to say, boop, 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 no vacancy. So what light is flashing over us when we get set free? Swept and clean, the room is ready to be filled. Is the sign going to say vacancy or no vacancy? Because Jesus has filled that area. And I think a lot of times people get set free and the people get delivered or a truth comes to them and they have this wonderful experience that the Lord has for their life, but He Himself doesn't get in there and fill that area. There's not an invitation, Lord Jesus. You know, I was once bound by this, and I'm just inviting You, Lord, into this area. I want You to fill this compartment of my life where I used to fill it, or my passion used to fill it, or my own selfish desires used to fill it. And You have set me free from it. I found out the truth of what Your Word has to say concerning this. And I no longer accept this, so I need You and what Your Word has to say concerning this to fill that area. Make sense? We've been translated from the power, from the authority of darkness, and translated or transferred into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Do you just even see, even Scripture lets us know. It doesn't, there's no vacuum here. There's no vacant place here. You've gone from one place to another. You're just not out there in the cosmic spiritual la-la land, if there is such a thing. But you've been moved from one place, from one location to another location. As I was sharing with a man here the other day that gave his life to Jesus. I think it was Wednesday. Was it Wednesday night? I think it was Wednesday night. This person standing here. I just love to see when God comes on a person and a person accepts Jesus as their Lord. And all of a sudden they can't walk. Hey, what's going on here? What'd you just do to me? I just love when the Lord comes upon a person like that because you can't take any credit for it. The Lord's just there doing it. And this, I feel so light. The weight is gone. It's just so neat that I just said, in a moment of time, you didn't go anywhere, but you moved everywhere. You were once part of a kingdom of darkness, and in the spirit realm, you were immediately taken from the domain of Satan, immediately taken from that dark domain of sin and death and filth, and placed into the beloved kingdom of Jesus Christ, and you didn't move an inch. But in the spirit, you moved eternity. There's something wonderful that has just taken place. You see, we believe these things. We believe what the Word of God has to say. And we trust in what the Word of God has to say. Into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Well, the love of God that He has for Jesus, we are told very clearly in John chapter 17. The same love that God has for the Son he has for the world. Same love. That's mind-blowing love. That God loves Jesus, or God loves the world, as same as he loves Jesus. Not what they're doing. He doesn't love what they're doing. He loves them as an individual that Jesus Christ's blood purchased to be redeemed. And they have the right. They have a sinner's bill of right to be saved. They have a right to hear the gospel. They have a right to see it exampled in the lives of believers, because it says that the Word of God tells us in John chapter 13, Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples by what? Your words that you have for them? Or by the demonstration of God's love, that agape love with inside your life, will speak to that person that that person belongs to Jesus Christ. They'll know you're my disciples by the love that you have amongst each other. And they're going to say, wow, what is that that you guys have? And they'll want to know about. Do you know the same love that the Father has for Jesus, that same love he has for you today? The same way that Father God loves Jesus, he loves you. And some of you need to hear that today. I mean, it should, that kind of love, that type of appreciation, that type of compassion, that type of mercy, that type of grace, that nature and character of God, if we'll just at times just think about it and just think how God thinks about us, or how he sees us and perceives us in his Son, can actually change your critical negative thinking about yourself and others. If you'll just sit there like, wow, Lord, you love me that much? You love me with the same love you love Jesus with? Uh-huh, I do. That right there will bring freedom in your life. That right there will help set you free from bondage, to know the great love that Father God has for you. It's a present love. It's a right now love. It's a here love of God. In whom, it says, in whom, or in Jesus, we have redemption. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Right there, just in these two verses here, just this quickly relate to us our declaration of independence from sin, death, and the penalty of it, the condemnation of it, and the sentence of it. Do any of you here today have a sense of condemnation on your life? Then you need, God wants you released of it. Are you carrying around a guilt or a shame? Jesus Christ bore our guilt and bore our shame on the cross. He wants you to be free from it, released from it. Jesus, it says in John chapter 3, we all know verse 16, but verse 17 and verse 18, he says, I haven't come to condemn. I haven't come to pass a sentence of judgment upon you. I haven't come to say, hey, listen, lady, you're going to hell. He says the sentence is already on you. I came to get it off. I came to release you from that which was placed upon you as a person born in Adam. I came to get rid of it. No, I just didn't come to get rid of it. I came to actually take it upon, to take your condemnation upon myself, to take your guilt upon myself, to take your shame upon yourself, or maybe the shame that was done against you, maybe some things you're thinking of, what somebody has done against you. Just don't always think what you've done, but maybe somebody has done something against you that's still impacting you. Jesus even bore that. And at times, the mind tries to go back there, the world tries to make us remember that. If the Lord brings it to our remembrance, it's brought to our remembrance not as a place of condemnation or a place of guilt or shame, but to say, I've taken care of this so you can be healed of this. And so it can be completely remedied within your life. Is that wonderful? No more. See, that's why when something comes by way of testimony, I can remember things that have happened to me and give testimony to it, but the pain associated with it, I've been healed from. The horribleness of it, I've been healed from. And God wants to bring all of us to a place. You've heard me made this statement here. I'll just go ahead and say it again. Every person here in some area is mentally ill. You might be going, I rebuke that, Pastor, in the name of Jesus. I've got the mind of Christ. The Word of God says we're to renew our minds or be transformed in our thinking. So that means we're deficit in some area in our thinking. Okay? Yes, I've got the mind of Christ. I've got available to me every thought. All those good things, as the Word of God tells us in Philemon, all the good things that we have in Christ. But there's still some renegades there. Hmm? You guys, this past week, all your thoughts were just holy, just loving Jesus. Like, you know, we're kind of like looking around like, yeah, you got to repent if you're a liar right now. And the truth is Jesus has already secured our release. He's already secured a truth that will overcome that and renew that and restore you in the area that he wants you restored in. So it no longer has to become a dominant way of life. His thoughts and his ways and his mind will become the dominant influence within inside you. And let me just ask you this. If you find yourself over and over going back to the same thing, prayer request the same. Now, I've told people, come up and get prayer as many times as you need, because one time it's going to stick. But God wants you actively applying what his word has to say. It's good to get prayer, but our part is to continue in the word. Our part is to abide in him. Our part is to allow his words to abide in us. We do have a part. And if you just think, oh, I'm just going to wait until God does it. If he's going to set me free, he's going to set me free. No, he's already secured our release. But he tells us some very simple instructions. In John 8:36, whom the Son sets free is free indeed, is free of a truth, is free in experience. And that is what you're wanting, right? You want the experience reality of what Jesus Christ has secured for you. In John 8:31 and 32, he tells you how to do it. In John chapter 8, we all know John 8:32 because I see it on bumper stickers. I see it if I visit people at home. We all have the 8:32 somewhere. I mean, it talks. What does that John 8:32 say? Any of you know it? And you shall know the truth, and the truth will what? There's another red letter sentence above that that is connected with that. And we like the 32 part, but we have to have the first part. And he's talking about those to a group of Jews who said that they believed in him. To those Jews who believed in him, it says, and Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if, oh my goodness, this morning I was going through all the different ifs. If, conditional. And what's the condition? If you abide in my word. If you abide in my word. So in order to experience 32, 31 has to be a living reality. For us to continue, to stay with, to abide, to fill our mind with, to fill our thoughts with. I've even put them on the mirrors in my bathroom. Randy Morabito used to carry around these little index cards with inside of his shirt about a truth that the Lord was having him memorize or think about. Or you may have a smartphone that it goes off every X amount of time and a scripture comes up. However you want to do it, there are all kinds of tools that we can use to allow the Word of God to be brought to us. And there is a tool that we don't have to have any electronics for at all. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Right? Pray in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit. It says, he will bring to our remembrance all things that I have said unto you. But our part is to continue in the word. And that was my hardest in the very beginning when I was so messed up in my thinking. I stayed with the word of God. Pastor Bill said, well, here's the outline of this teaching we're going to be doing. And if you just go over these scriptures, Mark, well, how many times you go over? You go over it until you become what it says. Until it lodges deep within inside of you. That no matter what speaks to you, the truth will speak greater than anything else that's speaking in your life. I said, that's a lot of work. He goes, that's our part. To meditate on the Word of God, to bathe ourselves in the Word of God, to get our thinking changed in a different way of thinking, a different way of viewing things, a different way of viewing life, to conform it to what the Word of God has to say. Mark, just continue doing it. Go over it. It may not even make a lot of sense. You may not even understand what it says. But in time, God will give you understanding. In time, it will become a truth within you. The next verse. If you continue in my word, you are what? My disciples indeed, or of a truth, or an experience. It's one thing to say you're a disciple of Jesus, but this right here sets us apart from all other types of disciples. We're taking God at His word and we're appropriating it to our life. Okay? Then it says that this is what will happen when you continue to abide, remain, stay in, never let go of. You shall know the truth. You shall know that it is reality. It will begin speaking in real time to you. It will become a present living reality to you. Sometimes you read things in the Word of God and you're like, it doesn't make a connection. It's making a connection now. It's creating a place of reality within you. You shall know the truth. And that truth, see, it's a further progression. See, it's got to become real in you. It's got to begin speaking to you. Then because it's real now, because it's a personal possession, it's as if you're sitting there. It's as if you're sitting there. When it becomes reality to you, it's like you're sitting there before the Lord's throne. You're sitting there before Jesus. It's like He has just said it to you, and you've got a captive audience with King Jesus, and that's how real it is. It has to be real to you. Then it says, as a result of it being real to you and real in you, then that brings you to the journey, to the freedom journey. Okay? When you look up the word freedom here, I believe it's the Greek word eleuthero, which means you were a bondman, you were a slave, and those shackles now have been cut off. There has been a release of those chains. What once enchained you, which once kept you in a place of sin or bondage or whatever that might be, boom, they're off, because there is another word, another thought, another reality that is from God that now governs you. And that brings in freedom. And that's why Jesus said in verse 36, whom the Son sets free, He's already done it all for us, is free indeed, or in life's experience. It's one thing for me to say, oh, I'm free in Jesus, but it's another thing for me to live and demonstrate that freedom that I have in Jesus. And that's the place that He's bringing all of us. And I believe that's the place that God has called the Christian Service Center to take each and every individual that wants to go and grow and just become as much as they can become in Jesus Christ, that God wants to take each and every one of us as far as we will go. The only way that I quit growing or going on with the Lord is if I stop. I don't know about you. I'm not stopping. I call it going gangbusters for Jesus. Whatever gang is against me, we're busting. Whatever's trying to enslave me, it must let go, because Jesus has secured my release. Amen? I'm going to continue this Wednesday, taking hold of Jesus and His victorious freedom. Because I know that some of you've heard some of these things. But I believe that God's trying to bring it into a place of experienced reality. How about this one? How about 1 Corinthians 15:57? How many of you know that one? But thanks be to God, who gives us the what? The failure? Or the victory? But thanks be to God. What is the first thing that we're supposed to be doing? Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you take your time and just look at some of the verses above it, it talks about the sting of death. It talks about sin. It goes on and talks about the things that Jesus Christ has secured our release from. Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, hell, where's your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the purpose of the law? The knowledge of sin, the Word of God tells us. The law shows me I've messed up, I'm bound for hell. It says that the whole world would become guilty before God. What good does that do if there's no remedy? And the verses right after that in Romans chapter 3 tell us the remedy that's in Jesus Christ. Okay? So that sting, that law which once bound me, has been crucified in Christ, and now I'm liberated in Jesus Christ. Sin no longer has a place to live within my life if I don't give it. Did you hear what I said? You, as a believer in Jesus, have power over sin. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's somewhere in Romans chapter 6, verse 11, somewhere around in there. Reckon. I reckon so. Is that what it means? Or to think, decide, consider, and say. Think, decide, consider, and say. It's something that you think about. It's something that you consider what Jesus Christ has done. And you personalize it that it belongs to you. I am free from the power of sin. I've been raised to walk in newness of life with Jesus Christ. Sin, missing God, doesn't have a place in my life anymore. I am connected with God through Jesus Christ. And I don't have to sin if I don't want to. The Word of God says you've been given dominion over sin. The governing power over it. It gets kind of quiet when I say stuff like that. Because sometimes we still find ourselves giving in, right? It's okay to shake your head yes. But there's already been provision when you mess up too. That's what the great thing is. But he wants to bring us to a place that I don't ever have to anymore. That's just absolutely wonderful. Amen? And so it says, now thanks be to God who gives us the victory. I got it. Hell is not my home. How about you? Amen. I've got a different destiny. A place with God. A place with Father. A place with Jesus. Forever and ever and ever. Death. Death is no more to be feared. If any person here, if you fear death, if you're afraid of death, if you're afraid of, oh, I don't know what's going to happen when I breathe my last breath. I know what's going to happen. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's what's going to happen. The Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 2, 14 and 15, that you have been loosed from the fear of death. And if there's any person here today that you are afraid of death, Jesus Christ secured your release. Whatever phobias that you may have, Jesus has secured the release from all types of phobias. Is that wonderful? And so just this simple little declaration today that I've just spoken from my heart about, that I really believe that God wanted me to say, that there is a place that every one of you can occupy spiritually, that no matter your past, no matter your present, no matter what has happened, no matter what is happening, no matter what may be even going on right now, with inside your life, with inside your family, internally, there's always a place of Jerusalem. The place of peace. The place of safety. The place where Father God is and you are together with Him. And even at times, I see myself, when I fall apart, in His presence. I am not alone. I am not abandoned. I belong to God and He belongs to me. And I can yield and surrender completely and wholly to Him, no matter what life brings my way. Because the Scripture cannot lie. God works all things together for the good. God works all things. Didn't say He created that environment. But whatever that horrific environment may be, He can work it together for the good. If you're a lover of God and you know that you've heard the call and you've responded and you're His child, just, you might say, Pastor, that just sounds so simple. I'm living its truth right now. See, that's part of my declaration of freedom in Jesus Christ. And I grab hold of that. To not believe that, I'd become a failure. To know, to be able to look at some of the things that your life and my life and other people's life, things that they've had to go through, it just doesn't seem fair. We live in a world that's not fair. but we serve the one who is what? Stacked the deck in our favor. Okay? There is a place of healing, deliverance, and freedom in Jesus Christ, no matter what it is that you go through. So, Father God, I just thank you right now. As we briefly looked at some verses here today, for this purpose, that last part of 1 John 3:8, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, was the Son of God came into human existence, that the Son of God took on flesh to destroy, to undo the works of the devil. And so we thank you, Lord God, that they have been undone, and we declare today and we believe in our heart that they're undone within our lives also. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your life and for your freedom and for your peace and for your joy in Jesus' name. Amen.